Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
I want to read from Deuteronomy 28:13. We hear this scripture quoted here very often. Wonderful, powerful scripture. And the Lord will make you, everybody say make, cause to be you the head and not the tail. You shall be above, everybody say only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of your Lord, which I have commanded you today, and be careful. Everybody say careful. Careful to observe them. Dominion is our right. Pastor, would you pray over this lesson today? Amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. We can and should have dominion. And, the world has a lot of twisted views about what leadership is, about what headship is, about what power is. And, don't worry, Pastor, I'm not going to get political or anything like that. But, whatever, and I mean, if it's worldly, it's probably wrong. And that's, if you are talking about politics, that's both sides. Everybody thinks they're right. In politics, everybody thinks they're right. And when it comes to social issues, everybody thinks they're right. Well, in fact, when it comes to religious issues. But God's word is right. It has been proven. There is a reason we live by this word. People can debate it. They can refute it. They can do all these things. But the bottom line is, and I preached on this some time ago, is God's word works. It works. God's design for leadership works. God's design for dominion works. And it has been proven to be so. And that's why we live by that. So we can and we should have dominion in our life. And there are a number of things that we need to have dominion over. And this is where I believe it starts. First of all, we need to have dominion over ourselves. Amen. That is probably the greatest battle we will ever fight, is the battle of the self, the battle of the mind, the battle of the flesh. It takes prayer. It takes prayer every day. My family and I, every evening we have a devotional. We have read from Bible stories. Lately, we've been reading from some good Christian books, apostolic books, and we just finished Brother Bernard's book on oneness and Trinity, and looking back at the history of the Trinity and oneness. And Trinity did not exist until around the year 300, after the year 300. So we want them to understand that. We want them to understand that oneness comes directly from God's word, okay? And so, but what we're teaching them is that daily devotion, daily prayer, we all take a turn and we all pray. Daily prayer is the first step in what it takes to conquer ourselves, to defeat ourselves. And fasting, we don't like that word, and there are all kinds of fasting. We need to kill our flesh. The clinical word is ego. We all have an ego. We all have things that we want. The ego is manifesting a lot of times more often than we may realize, and it's not always bad. The ego, in fact, manifests in something as simple as playing an app on your game. Okay, why? We play a game, we get that satisfaction. Some people say, that dopamine hit, as it's referred. There are other chemicals involved when it comes to those kind of things. But, you suddenly realize you're bored. What do? You pick that up, play a game, play my crossword, play my words with friends, and get beat for the umpteenth time and get a little frustrated, put it down. My life is so much better now, okay? And, all the little things that we do. And, of course, eating is ego-driven. Okay, but of course we know that we need to eat. So when it comes to fasting, fasting is simply putting aside something that our ego enjoys, okay? Some people go, I have even heard of people going on a speech fast. Now, that may not be possible with our society, but some people go on a retreat. They're going to be gone for 7 days, and the only time they speak is when they pray. They don't eat during that time, and a lot of flesh killing can be accomplished in that. But the first thing we can and should have dominion over is ourself, because if we do not get control of ourselves, we're not going to have dominion over anything, okay? The Bible says that the most unruly member is the tongue. If we do not conquer what we say and how we say things, then we will not have dominion over the things that God wants us to have dominion over. In the Garden of Eden, one of the first things that God ever did is said, I am giving you dominion, okay? Man is the boss, okay? Monkeys are not the boss, right? Now, don't get me wrong. If I'm in a jungle with a gorilla, he's the boss right there, okay? So I'm in his territory, all right? But overall, you understand what I'm saying. We have dominion over animals. That doesn't mean we are abusive, of course. I know we have animal lovers and we have hunters and all those things, we do respectfully. But we have that dominion. Second of all, we have dominion over circumstances. This does not mean that we control all our circumstances. There are some circumstances that we absolutely cannot control. There are some things we have absolutely no say in. Okay, if a tornado destroys my home, I have zero say in that. Now, I've seen people, I saw a video one time, a tornado was coming down and people prayed away that tornado before it hit the ground and they took dominion in that situation. But even then, sometimes there are circumstances that I have no control over. However, I can influence and have dominion over my circumstances, first of all, through godly choices. And I'll talk about that a little bit more later. But we need to make godly choices in our life. Good choices. Has anybody ever made a bad choice? Let's all raise our hand. Has anybody ever made a bad choice recently? Let's all... This morning, you know, we make bad choices, okay? We do. Sometimes we associate with the wrong people in the wrong way. Sometimes we take part in the wrong conversation. And there are all kinds of wrong ways. And when it comes to doing something right, any carpenters or woodworkers or manual laborers, any kind of that, you know, you work with, I know you have a business with roofs, okay? There is one way to do the roof right, okay? One way, right? For carpentry, when you do have a certain project, there's one way to do it right and thousands of ways to do it wrong. Thousands of ways to hammer a nail improperly. Thousands of ways to improperly lay shingle, okay? So when it comes to certain aspects of our life, very often there is only one right way to do. If someone is, if there's a group and they start, you know, speaking, you know, having a vile conversation and things that we should not be a part of, there is only, if we can, now sometimes we're working and we may politely ask, hey guys, can you save that conversation till later? And they may, but I'm talking about in a social aspect, the only really good choice to make is just to leave. And I've had to do that. And you know, it works sometimes. They'll start, you know, I remember when I worked as a photographer, sometimes their conversation in the newsroom got a little bit loose, you know, and they started talking about, and I just excused myself. I didn't make a fuss. I didn't be holier than thou or anything like that. But, you know, they took notice, and sometimes they would say, careful, guy, Shannon's going to leave the room. And, you know, we'd laugh. But in a situation like that, that's just about all you can do. Very often, there's only one godly choice to make and thousands of wrong godly choices. Also in our circumstances, we are blessed to have divine intervention and divine deliverance. I believe that every difficult situation that comes, God has an answer for it. There is an end to it. I've been going through a particular situation for about 2 years in my life now, okay? And sometimes it can be brutal, you know. I'll share it with you later, but God gave Brother Jake a dream not long ago. I had prayed this particular prayer. I said, God, something's got to give here, you know, or I need to know that this is, you know, going to manifest in the future for my good or for a greater anointing. And then God gave him a dream. He shared that with me, not knowing that I had just that same night prayed that, okay? That is divine intervention, okay? That helped me to have dominion over this circumstance. I have no idea when or how it will change. It could go on for more years to come. Now, I'm okay, by the way. I'm not, you know, don't worry or anything. But it's still, you know, sometimes we have very prolonged situations, but there is always an answer. There is always, God always has something that he can do for us. Now, if we're in a situation that we don't need to be in, God has a divine answer. God always has a divine, God is not going to leave us in a situation that will keep us down or that will keep us sad and miserable all the time. He's not going to do that. But in some situations, what did he say to Paul? Paul said, I sought the Lord three times. I'm sorry, I've sought the Lord way more than three times about one particular situation. I don't know if he just gave up easy or the Lord spoke to him sooner about that or what. But, you know, he said, I sought the Lord, okay? The Lord heard, the Lord answered, and the Lord said no. Anybody ever gotten a no? And I mean a permanent no, okay? You have a condition. You have a something that's happened. Of course, the loss of a loved one. We know that those things are permanent. So what did God tell Paul? He said, my what? Grace. My grace is enough. Have you ever experienced grace when something just wasn't going to change? Have you ever had maybe a lifelong condition? And some of y'all know that I have. We have others in this church that have lifelong conditions that affect them daily, every day. What does God give us? Grace. And we may not know until eternity comes just how much these things have helped us and helped others. Sometimes we can see some things in my life. I see how it has directly affected me and affected others. And so God will give us grace. But when he gives us any of these things, when we make godly choices, when we have divine intervention, when we have grace, we have dominion. We are above our circumstances. We are not below them. Whatever it is that is happening, whatever it is that is taking place, and God can even give us dominion over our own messes. We make messes. We make mistakes. We create situations in our lives, sometimes accidentally, sometimes out of anger. So many ways that we can create situations, even in sinful ways, and really mess up our life, at least for a time. Okay? There are some things, and I have dealt with things that were a result of things that happened decades before, and I mean decades before, okay? Things that weren't properly dealt with then, you know, and years into the future, we had to deal with that. And sometimes those things are of our own making. We look back and think, man, I thought I was going to get away with that, but I didn't. You know, it caused this trouble in my life, and now I have this big mess. Even then, God can give us dominion over those circumstances. Now, the Bible uses the word if a lot. So, God can give us dominion over our own messes if, first of all, we repent. Okay? And this is really part of repenting. We learn our lesson. Sometimes we have to learn the lesson again. God understands that. But God can give us dominion. I have created this mess. I own it. I repent of it. I am sorry. I have done this. And what does God do? He turns our stumbling block into a stepping stone. That's what God will do. He will create this situation and work it for good. Now, that doesn't mean we just go out, mess something up just so God can make a good situation. No, we don't do that, okay? We understand that, okay? And some things, you know, may be even there forever. Some sins, you know, change your life forever. And you can't put it back. You know, you can't change things back the way they are. But even then, God gives restoration. God gives forgiveness. God gives grace. God gives peace. God gives dominion. I know that I did that thing I shouldn't have done, and I and even people I love are paying a price for it today, but we will have dominion. Even though it is my fault, dominion is my right. I am the head. I am above. I am above sin because God has put me above sin. We can also have dominion over mental and emotional turmoil. And I've kind of already alluded to this. Whether that be circumstantial or biological, this generation seems to be experiencing more mental health issues than any generation before. Now, there's a lot of schools of thought with that, and I think there's something to all of them. One says that technology is part of it. You know, the constant, the effects of constantly using our phone, looking down, that constant dopamine hit. People, instead of just dealing with stress, what do? We do something to get rid of the stress. We play a game. We try to get rid of that boredom. And boredom can be a gift from God. You know, your brain learns how to work out problems when we are bored. So that's part of it. Another one is just the fact that we are more aware of these things. And I tend to agree with this school of thought that many people have the genetic markers for a number of conditions. And I don't have to list any. We all know psychological, emotional conditions. Okay, many people have genetic markers. There was a really interesting documentary I saw on a family that had 9 children, and I think it was 6 of them had schizophrenia. You know, we see then that it is genetic, okay? Well, something, they may have those genetic markers, but they may not always be activated, okay? Sometimes those genetic markers can be activated by circumstance, by a sickness, by many different things. And a lot of people tend to think that just the fact that we know about all these things and they're everywhere and we're constantly talking about them and constantly thinking about them, that actually activates those genetic markers and causes people to have some of these conditions that they may not otherwise have. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. I'm all for awareness. But so the point is that we've got just this epidemic of anxiety and depression and so forth. Now, we sing about, God will deliver you from depression. I believe that. I don't want anybody to ever think I'm saying we don't need to sing about that. No. That's not what I'm saying, okay? But it is also true that some people have those conditions. They have at times had a major depressive disorder, and God wants to deliver you from that. If you were just down all the time, robbing of joy, that's not God's will for us to stay there. Maybe a little while He'll help us, and we can gain strength in that somehow. But to live there, no, I don't believe we should. And so some people, through divine intervention, through treatment and different things like that, they get relief from those things, okay? So however it is that we come to have relief from our from the things that we have, God will give us dominion over those things. The last time I talked about how a lot of times natural remedies can, God made those things. God made all those chemicals that are inside that. I should also note that it's important to understand that, whether it's a Tylenol, whether it's an antidepressant, whatever, what we need to be mindful of is that we don't need faith for that to work. So we shouldn't always just rely on treatment and this and so forth. There are some times when we need to say, look, God, I'm going to do these things if I need to, but I need you to intervene. I need to have faith, and I'm going to activate my faith and take dominion over these things. So however it is in our emotional situations that we can get help from the Lord, from wherever He has for us to get it, we can have dominion over that. Y'all know that I have bipolar disorder. I have dominion over bipolar disorder, okay? I know it's a cliche. I have it. It doesn't have me, okay? It's just something I live with. If God delivers me, that's fine. If not, I'm going to be okay. Now, some people, when you hear somebody that says that, you're thinking, is he just going to flip out at any moment? Well, Jake knows me, and he knows that, yes, I may indeed flip out at any moment. So, no. But the point is that there are things that we can get grace over, and we can have dominion over these things. And of course, we have dominion over our adversary, the devil. We have dominion over Satan. You are better than him. Now, sometimes we hear that phrase, you ain't no better than I am. Well, when it comes to the devil, I'm better than you. In every way, I am above you, okay? I am more highly desired by God Himself than you are. All the ways that I try to live by God's ways, they are above His ways. We need to never, in any circumstance, feel intimidated by the things that the devil throws at us, whether it be temptation, anything that he tries to use against us, okay? So how do we take dominion over the devil? Well, we war in the Spirit. Ephesians 6 and 12, we understand this verse. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Don't need to be fighting with each other, amen? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, in this scripture, we can see that Satan has some kind of hierarchy, okay? He has some kind of plan. He is organized in what he does. But even in all of his organizing, even in all of his planning and things that he tries to set in motion, and sometimes when we look back, we can say, oh, I see how the devil set that trap. You know, I see how that person came right along just at the right time when I didn't need it, when it could have just sent me down a wrong path. I don't know how he does that. I do not know. And frankly, it really doesn't matter how he does that. The point is that he does it. And furthermore, we have dominion over that because God's hierarchy is greater than his. Now, I want to give you a little bit of a test here. I heard this done years ago back in my senior camp days. Actually, Brother Wayne Huntley did this. And he said, I'm going to set a little trap for you, okay? I'm going to deliberately fool you, all right? Now that I've kind of said this, you may not kind of fall for it like we did. He said, but I'm going to say something, and I want you to name the opposite equivalent of that thing. Okay, so if I say solid, you might say liquid or gas. Okay, hot, cold, very good. God, not Satan. Because what I said, what is the opposite equivalent of that? Satan is the opposite of God, but he is not the opposite equivalent of God. Satan is the opposite of what we have in ourselves, but we are not equivalent with what he has, because our power, though it be the reverse of what he has, is not as powerful. It is more powerful, because greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. We are better than the devil. And of course, we can take dominion over sin. Sin is a choice. Now, I understand that even in the church, now some people come into the church and never touch a drug or drink again. They're right there. Some people come in and they may struggle with it a while longer. I have no criticism of that. Absolutely none. Because, you know, and I'm not saying that, yeah, it's okay if you continue to do this. That's not what I'm saying. But it takes them a little longer, okay? They may struggle a little longer. But they do realize, yes, I want to stop doing this, but I'm having some, so they get help, okay? But if it is immediate or if it takes time, I think God has purpose in both of those, okay? Because we can say to somebody, look, you know, I know what it's like to go over this long-term struggle. Let me help you with that. That's one purpose in and of itself. But we can have dominion over sin, first of all, by a changed heart. When we were saved, we stopped looking at things the way that we used to do. I love Pastor's testimony. You know, those posters that used to line his room, they didn't look the same. They looked different. They felt different. You know, there are some things that we can see that we just get a particular kind of feeling from. There's this painting that I absolutely love on our screen, this kind of a screensaver. My wife chose a bunch of different paintings that it goes through, and it stopped on one called A Rainy Day in Chicago. It's a beautiful painting from the 1800s. It's in the Cleveland Museum of Art. And when I saw it, it just struck me. They say sometimes art does that. It just hit me in a certain way, and I just looked at it. It's a rainy day, people out with umbrellas, there's horses and carriages and buildings in the background, and the middle of the painting is basically a reflection of a building and the water that's on the ground. And it just struck me. Every time I see that painting, I feel a certain way. I just do. And whenever that screensaver is going and it comes to that, I just kind of stop what I'm doing and I just look at it. There are ways that people in this room used to look at certain things. They used to look at a tall, cold one with a bit of fondness. And I mean fondness, okay? Not an evil heart. I don't mean that. And I'm not saying that's okay to see it that way, but not with ill intent toward others, but they saw that with just a bit of fondness. Oh, cold one sounds good right now, you know, or a shot or what. It's just us guys. I guess it's okay if I name maybe a couple of these things here, but or other things, you know. And I won't go down you know a long list, but you understand what I'm saying. Those things look good. A drag would feel so good right now, but then God changed our heart. He changed our heart. He changed our thinking. Now, before then, we think, Dr. Patterson used to talk about how addicted he was to smoking. He said he would smoke it all the way down to the nub and suck the juice out. That's how bad it was. And he would, you know, he would, if someone threw down a cigarette and didn't finish it, he would finish it for them. It was bad. And he couldn't imagine. It was silly to think that he would go a day or even a morning without a cigarette, without a drag, without a nice long slow burn and relaxing, and the nicotine just it feels just so good. He couldn't imagine that. But when God saved him, his heart changed. He looked at it differently. That tall, cold one had no appeal to him. Again, for some people that's over time, that's fine. But those cigarettes, it didn't have the same appeal that it used to. Walking by someone who smoked, it used to smell good. It used to kind of linger around just a little bit, but not anymore. Why? Because God gives us dominion over sin. And He changes. He does the work. He changes our heart. And sometimes He changes things throughout our Christian walk. I understand that even in the church, we get messed up in things. We pick up ungodly habits and even addictions in the church. I do know that happens. Okay, obviously we're not condoning that, but I do want to offer my empathy, okay, as much as I can for those things. Okay, so what do we do when we have something that we're struggling with? Okay, and I won't ask you to raise your hand, but you ever struggled with something? You ever said something? You just again, what does the Bible call that? The sin that does so easily beset us, easily. How is it that just so easily there are people who just say it was just like, you know, I was just watching myself do this same dumb thing over again. I was just, Richard Pryor said he would just watch his hands. He said he didn't even feel control. He was so addicted to cocaine. He said, I would just watch my hands get it ready. Okay. I would just watch it happen. And it was like I was no part of it. Okay. That's how strong it could be. Talk about easily besetting someone. Sometimes that does happen in church. First thing we do is we go to God's Word. We go to Him in prayer. And if we are still struggling, what does the Bible say? James 5 and 16. Confess your trespasses. That word is also translated as fault. That's a good way to say it. One to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, I think sometimes the view in this area of the country is individual accomplishment, individual freedom, individual that, and the further north you go, a lot of times the more community minded they are, and that goes back to settlement history. I won't get into that, but you know, the north was settled in more communitive ways, and the south was come here for personal individual freedom, get your spot by the river, and just live your life. Okay, and we see a lot of that going on today, and that's fine. Okay, that's absolutely fine. However, Sanctus Real did a great song, We Need Each Other. Oh, we need each other. There's a phrase, you mentioned this, I believe it was last week, a couple weeks ago, it takes a village. Well, it takes a church. It really does. Notice it did not say, and I've said this before, confess your faults to one another and another and another. And it doesn't say that. Okay, don't go telling everybody, you know, everything that's wrong in your life, okay? Confess your faults to, you know, one to another. Now, you know, I may be struggling with something that I know that Brother Drake has dealt with before. I can go to him and I can say, Brother, I need your help. I need some encouragement. I need some prayer about this. Can you help me out with this? And we can do that, okay? Sometimes it's a little more personal. Sometimes, have you ever had somebody come to you and say, you should have just kept that between you and your therapist, man. Or, you know, you and your doctor. You know, I know some pastors want to do that during service. They wish they had Jedi mind tricks, you know. You don't want to say the thing, the prayer request that only your doctor should know about, okay? You know, and sometimes it's a little too personal. But there are contexts in which we can share anything. Counseling is one. We know that. And if you're in a counseling session with someone, you know, a clinical type environment, anything goes. Absolutely anything. Now, obviously, in some situations, some instances, you might get into issues of mandated reporting, but we're really not even necessarily talking about that. But, you know, whatever it is, okay, first person you should go to is your pastor. That's the right and ethical thing to do. I've told people in counseling, we don't work hand in hand, okay? I don't go to him and he doesn't go to me. But if it gets into something that is ethical that the pastor does need to know about, like, you know, if Brother Jake has developed a habit of kicking young people, stomping their feet, you know, he just has this bad habit. He just goes around, he wants to stomp them in the foot real hard, and he's admitted that to me. I said, well, you know, we're going to have to take that to pastor, okay, you know, kind of thing. I know that's a little bit silly, but you understand what I'm saying, okay? I can assure you, your pastor, and sometimes we can go to our pastor's wife. I called Sister Walden not long ago. Said I need a little help right now. I just need a little encouragement. I'm not trying to get you to fix me. I need to talk right now. That's all. That kind of thing is okay. But sometimes we just need to go to the man of God. And this is Bible. There's plenty of Bible for it. I won't get into it. But we need to go to the man of God. And I can assure you, he will not hurt you with anything you go to him. He will never say, if you go to him and say, look, I've been dealing with XYZ. I came across this thing. I didn't really mean to, but it appealed to me in a way that scared me, that frightened me. I didn't know that I may have had this in me, or maybe it wasn't in me. Maybe just something clicked in that moment and it really bothered me. I'm really concerned about this. Pastor's not going to say, you should have known better. You shouldn't have went there. You shouldn't have spoken to that person. You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have gotten involved in that. You knew better than that. He's not going to do that. That's not what a good shepherd, a good pastor does, okay? God doesn't do that, okay? So pastor's not going to do that. He's going to say, okay. He's going to listen. He's going to say, okay, well, here's what we need to do about that. And he may be direct with some things. He say, look, you might need to take a break from such and such a while. Not out of punishment. Now, that doesn't always happen. Okay, I remember, I can tell you a lot of things that I talked to Dr. Patterson about, and he left me on the platform. And I'm thinking, he probably did that just to make me feel more guilty, to help me out, you know, get out of it. I'm on the platform, so I shouldn't be up here, and that helped me out, that little bit of guilt maybe. But sometimes he may say, let's take a break just to help us to heal, because we need time to heal from something, okay? Pastors don't put people on probation, all right? That's not what that is. They want to help us, And if taking a break from something is part of that, God will show him that, and we will do that. But go to godly counsel for this. Now, here's one of the great things about going to godly counsel. I know in my life, and others, you know, you may know what I'm talking about, there's something about when you go to somebody, suddenly this accountability is created. And accountability is so important. Sometimes it takes more than accountability. I understand that. But this accountability is ignited, and it activates something in our mind that once we tell him, look, I'm struggling with XYZ, suddenly knowing that he knows about that, knowing that he cares about me, it doesn't seem like the struggle that it used to be. That's not always the case, but very, very often it is, because it's not just in my mind anymore. He is bearing my burden with me. I have confessed my fault, my trespass to someone that I trust, and he's going to help me. He's going to pray for me that we may be what? That we may be healed. That we may be healed. We have dominion over everything in our life, and I don't care how long you've struggled. Men, I know that there are things that we struggle with that nobody else struggles. Everybody say, well, the women have it worse, or the men have it worse, or these have it worse, or this person. Everybody's got their stuff, okay? There are some things that are common with race. There are some things that are common with gender. There are some things that are common with age. Everybody's got their stuff. And I will never say, well, maybe that person does have it worse than I do, so that means that my struggle is just no big. No, don't do that, okay? And never say, you think you got it bad. Let me tell you, don't do that either. Struggle is struggle is struggle is struggle, okay? Temptation is temptation is temptation. Whatever it is, God gives us dominion over that. And I know that as men, there are some things we just don't want to talk about. That's just the way it is. They say that's kind of the way we're raised, I suppose, but even so, it's just difficult. And I won't get into all that, but you understand what I'm talking about. There are struggles that we just a lot of times don't reveal to our own family. Why? Because we're trying to lead them. We don't want to unload on them. We don't want them to know that we're dealing with whatever. We don't want to undermine our authority. We don't want them to be overly concerned about us. Those can be good reasons. But whatever it is you're dealing with, get help. Whatever the appropriate help is, get help. Because when we get help, we take dominion. If I fall flat on my face tomorrow, and my pastor needs to know about that, I'm not going to go in that room to be corrected. And that's fine if I am. I'm not going to go in that room to get a lecture. I'm going to go in that room so that somebody can help me take dominion over these things in my life. So even though I have messed up, fallen flat on my face, I have created a terrible situation, I am going to walk in that room. I am going to approach the throne. I'm going to do whatever it takes with my head held high because I am better than all of these things. I am the head, not the tail. I should also note one thing we do not have dominion over is others. There are a lot of misconceptions, and I'm not going to get into it. There are a lot of misconceptions these days about what leadership and headship and so forth is. I do not have dominion over my wife, okay? You know, the Bible says in a certain context that they have power over each other in certain ways, okay? But that's a unity kind of thing, okay? But I do not have dominion over my children. I have authority, you know, but if I try to just dominate them in every way, I'm in control. Everything I say goes, and they have no opinion, they have no say. I am completely authoritarian. Then bad things are going to happen. Okay, we understand that. So those are the things that we have dominion over. Can you thank God for that? Amen. Dominion is maintained through godly choices. So here's a test that we can try, that we can put into action. First of all, the God test. We need to ask ourselves, does this please God? Does this choice, does this plan of action, okay, does that please God? Is it according to His Word? Is it possible that somehow it brings Him glory? Now, you know, I know that may not apply to everything. Either way, I mentioned, you know, just picking up your phone and playing a game. I don't believe God gets any glory out of that, you know, but there's nothing wrong with it either. I understand the neutrality of some situations, but we need to ask ourselves, and the choices that we make, does this thing I'm going to do, does this purchase, does this decision not to do something, does it please God? And then there's the integrity test. Would I be okay with other people knowing about this? I understand some things are private. I understand that. But if something were to get out, would I be embarrassed? Would I lose influence with others? Okay. Would I hurt my credibility with others in making this decision? And then there is the improvement test. Will this make my life better? Will this plan of action, will this one decision or series of decisions, will this improve my relationship with my children? Will it bring me closer to God, to my wife, to others? Will things be better? Or will this decision to buy this brand new Ford Explorer weigh me down and put me in a bind, you know, and do these things? Some people are Dave Ramsey all the way, you know, and that's fine. Some people are, well, one, you know, car payment's okay. Whatever your position is, okay, you know, is this something that's, even like that, is this going to improve my life, or is this decision going to cause this thing to dominate my life? Now, God doesn't want us to be financially strapped all the time, and sometimes I heard someone say, we went to the car dealership and, and they couldn't give us credit, and we called another bank, and they couldn't give us credit, and then we called this, and then they tried to rig that, and that wouldn't work out. But finally, after hours, something worked out, and we praised God for it. Well, it sounds like God was doing his best to stop you from doing that. You know, sometimes, you know, circumstances will speak to us, and circumstances will say, stop, don't do this, okay? It's not going to improve your life, okay? It's not going to allow you to have dominion in your life. And we also need to have an attitude of dominion. Everybody say attitude. You know, the Bible says that someone with a bad spirit is like a city with its walls broken down. And I've heard this taught all my life. You can't do anything with someone with a bad attitude. You can't do anything. You know, there are times when I thought my former pastor should have done X, Y, Z with somebody. They had a bad attitude. He should have did this and sat them down. Well, you can't do anything with them. You absolutely can't. You know, at most, you can escort them outside, you know, if it gets to that point. But we need to have an attitude, a mindset. Okay, this is a blend of emotions and thinking, an attitude of dominion. Arrogance does not equal dominion. And I'm sure we've come across plenty of arrogant people in our lives. There are people that preached with such authority, and just everything they said, they talk about dominion. And then when you talk to them, the meekest, humblest person in the world, what did that make you want to do? Made you want to receive what they said even more, okay? And then there are people, and I'm not trying to down preachers or anything, but whether it be preaching or whatever, you know, say things with, you can tell they're not saying it with authority, but they're saying it with arrogance. That does happen. Whether it be in conversation, there is a distinct difference, okay, between authority and arrogance. So arrogance does not equal dominion, even though I can say I am better than sin. I am better than Satan, okay? I am above my circumstances. Well, here's why. Submission to God's word. Submission to it. Obey those that have the rule over you. It doesn't say obey those that rule over you, but obey those that have. Pastor, hold your Bible up, okay? He has the rule. He has been entrusted with the rule, and that is over us. He has the rule over us. Thank you. And so what do? We submit to the man of God. We submit to those in authority. You know, y'all have heard me say, Sister Walden and I, we're like brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes we might say things to each other, just kind of forgetting how casual we can be, picking on each other or something like that. And somebody turns around, what did you say to her? And then I have to kind of remember, okay, well, we're around people, okay? And we're just that close. You know, we're like that. Pastor and I are like that. A little bit different than with her, but still, we're like brothers. We've known each other for a long time. But the Walden, Sister Walden, our families go back to the 60s, all right? However, if she says, Shannon, it's time to do such and such, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I will do that, Shannon. We're not going to play that, okay? You're not going to play in those notes, all right? You need to play this. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Now, ask her if I've always been that way. By which I mean, don't ask her if I've always been that way, okay? All right? But you know, I we have to, that comes back down to having, you know, dominion over self, okay? Submission. But if you have a mindset of I'm submitting to God's word, okay? I'm submitting to my pastor. He's not ruling over me. He's not controlling my life. He's not making my decisions for him. That's not what it is, okay? But when it comes to these godly things, I will submit to him and I will have humility. It takes humility. Now, the world sees that, the combination of dominion and humility as dichotomous. We know it is not so. We know that the two go hand in hand. I thank God for the authority and dominion he has given me. I am grateful to him. I will not approach God. I boldly approach the throne, but I approach it still with humility, thanking God for living inside of me that he that is in me is greater than what is in the world, than all these principalities and powers and wickedness and high places. I am above all that. I am above the spiritual wickedness in high places. We are above it. Don't ever be intimidated. If you ever, about anything you see and hear outside of these walls, if you ever feel intimidated by it, to quote Bob Newhart, stop it. Stop it. Okay? That's some of the best advice I've ever heard. Just stop it. All right? You know, I don't think I can make it. You know, I'm just, I'm just give me a cabin in the corner of glory. That's a real song. Can you believe that? Stop it, okay? Come boldly. Take authority over those things. I understand, yeah, you get down. We get down. I get down for all kinds of different reasons. But even when I'm down, I think I'm going to be better shortly. I'm about to be better. This feeling that I have will stop, and I will go on, and I will be above these things. So lastly, I want to say this. We don't have to earn dominion or make it happen. If you're trying to attain it, if you're trying to make it happen, then we're going about it the wrong way. Okay? We do not have to make it happen because we are not party to that causality. We are not. What did God say? He said, I will make you. I will make you. I cause it to be. I love the story that my dad tells about a bully that was picking on him in school when my dad was young boy in school. He told his dad about it, okay? And I wish y'all would have known. I don't know if you ever knew Richard Peacock, my dad's dad. Yeah, but good man, quiet, strong, silent type. Good man. Well, one day he took dad to school. My dad, and Pawpaw, I'll call him Pawpaw, said, where is he? My dad said, that's him over there against the wall. So dad got out of the car, went on. Pawpaw got out, leaned up against the car and stared at that boy. That boy'd spit. Pawpaw'd spit. That boy'd adjust a little bit. Pawpaw'd adjust a little bit. Did that for about 5 minutes. And that bully never picked on my dad, not one single time. Not because of my dad, but because of who his daddy was. We have authority because of who our daddy is.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.